Hello, Evers and Nevers, and welcome back to SGE with S&G, a School for Good and Evil read-along podcast. I'm your host, Sam.
And I'm Gail.
And today we'll be discussing the second chapter of the School for Good and Evil, The Art of Kidnapping. So how does this chapter start, Gail?
So the chapter opens when the sun sets on the night of the kidnapping, or whatever you want to call it, and all the families are basically barricading themselves into their houses and bedrooms. And meanwhile, Sophie is preparing to undo all her barricades with beauty tools, which is kind of funny. Like nail files and tweezers. And then she says she's doing it to, quote her, to make the kidnapping as convenient as possible.
So she's like very confident that she will be taken.
And it won't be Belle or anyone. Because earlier in the first chapter, she was kind of trying to convince herself. Whereas now, she's definitely very sure.
She's 100% sure, because she thinks she knows Belle is like all the others, because she didn't want to be taken. She wanted to, I think, what did she say? Grow old, get married, have kids, but stay in Gavaldon. But Sophie's looking for more in life than that.
Which is kind of funny, because I have a feeling that the people who were kidnapped before them weren't really that happy about getting kidnapped either.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. So let's start delving into the history of the kidnappings and basically all the funny conspiracy theories that the villagers of Gavaldon kind of came up with in order to justify the disappearances of these children.
So just to talk about it, so they knew that two children were taken every 4 years. One was always beautiful and good, and the other was homely and odd, quoting the book, aged between 12 and 16 years old. And I thought it was kind of funny when it said, naturally, the villagers blamed bears, because that's so random.
And then, apparently, there are no bears and never have been in Gavaldon, and no villager has ever seen one.
So why would they naturally blame it on bears?
Why did they think of bears? If you'd never seen it, how would they know they existed? I mean, I guess from fairy tales, but that's kind of... That doesn't really line up, in my opinion. I don't know.
Oh, and they're
burrowing bears, phantom bears, bears in disguise. So detailed and so random.
And then they also had the flying cannibal theory, which they don't go into detail, they just name it. And then also the sinkhole theory, which are all pretty random and a little too, I don't know, vast and magical.
Very vague.
Yeah.
And so then the children started seeing the faces of their friends, the children who were taken, in the storybooks that were sold in their local bookstore, owned by a Mr. DeVille. And then the villagers noticed that as well, so they started going into the woods to try to find the kids, but they always ended up back where they started.
In Gavaldon. But also, at first, the villager parents didn't believe the kids, and they just thought that they were crazy.
They're coincidences, too.
Yeah, I know. It's like, how do you think that these random kids who were taken have the same exact faces in storybooks? It just doesn't make sense why they say that, but yeah. And then Mr. DeVille sees, like, a stamp on the box of books.
Because every year he would kind of just receive a box of storybooks, and then he would have to copy them all out by hand so each kid in the village could have one. But they were just kind of from an unknown source. He didn't order them. He didn't pay for them.
And the elders of the village always were asking him, where do you get these books? And he kept saying, I don't know, which is true. Until he saw the seal on the box of books, which had SGE and two swans. And it was like a crest. And so they figured out, because underneath it, it said the School for Good and Evil. And so then the kidnapper became known as the schoolmaster.
So then when Sophie sees Honora and Stefan, there we go, okay. That's, I mean, pretty rough, honestly, for her, I think, because...
Yeah, she's like, he's supposed to love me, and he's just, all the other villagers are in panic, when everyone else, like, everyone knows that she's probably gonna be taken, and he's the father of her, and he's just like, eh, and all the other villagers are like, ah!
And he's, like, flirting with this woman, and I feel... Like, that's just kind of, that's so heartless to do when your only child is going to be taken away and you might never see them again.
Even, like, knowing the story in
of their relationship in later books, which we're not going to spoil. But, like, even knowing that, it's still pretty heartless. And then Sophie goes on to compare Honor to her, to Sophie's own mother.
So,
saying, like, oh, Honor is, like, has a teeny head and looks like a turkey, and my mother was beautiful, and all that stuff. Yeah. And so...
Right. You're right. And I just honestly thought that was... It's just kind of a low blow, especially since your only child's about to be taken, kidnapped, and you're flirting with this but this woman. It's just strange, to be honest. Anyway,
I mean, so then,
in his defense, it's not like she was very receptive to having her Honor as a stepmother.
Yeah.
I mean, it says that she changed the subject and loudly chopped cucumbers, or worst of all, smiled the way she did at Radley, which probably did not make her father feel so great.
Yeah. Because then again, you also have to think of them as, like, kind of husband and wife, just Sophie's the only one preventing that.
Right.
So yeah, so then moving on. So Sophie even made gingerbread with sugar and butter, which she never makes for the schoolmaster. Like, her best friend, I'm doing quotation marks, is Agatha, and she makes her butterless bran biscuits. So clearly she cares about the schoolmaster.
So the schoolmaster is definitely someone to impress. And then...
Let's just repeat that. Butterless bran biscuits.
Some nice Yuck. Alliteration. Anyway, and then I love the part, the next part, when Agatha eats the gingerbread hearts. I just love that. Just Sophie puts them out so carefully, and she just organizes them and, like, arranges them so nicely. And then she goes to bed, and she's so happy. And, well, because she thinks she's going to basically wake up as a princess, right? At the School for Good and Evil. And then Agatha just kind of...
It goes back to Agatha.
Yeah, and then Agatha just comes and eats them.
And then there's, like, a flashback to, like, before this happened, Agatha, after Sophie and Agatha's walk, which occurred in the last chapter. So, Agatha's, like, by herself now. Sophie went home. She gets nervous. Wait, no, sorry, I got that wrong. So she eats the cookies after she gets nervous. Then she goes back home. And then her mother, Callis, is packing a suitcase for her, saying that she will be taken to the School for Good and Evil. So, Callis seems to know a lot about the schools. Like, she knows if you remember the epigraph in the beginning of the book, like, in two forest, towers, like...
In the forest, primeval, a school for good and evil. Two towers like twin heads, one for the pure, one for the wicked. Try to escape, you'll always fail. The only way out is through a fairy tale, just to reiterate.
Yeah, so Callis, Agatha's mother, knows that, which is a little strange, dare I say, foreshadowing. Not kidding. And then...
Ooh.
Back to Sophie. So, once she sees that the cookies are gone, she doesn't know Agatha took them, and so she thinks that the schoolmaster has finally arrived.
So, she jumps out the window. I mean, not to worry. It's a very low window. And
she has her bags.
She packed three bags.
And remember...
Many cucumbers.
She's, like, behind... Wait, what is she behind? She's crouching behind, like, a tree...
A tree.
? Anyways, and so then Agatha, like you said, she wakes up, sees the schoolmaster, and she runs to, well, so, she's happy thinking that she won't be taken. Then she's like, oh my god, what about Sophie? So then Callis is awake and, like, knows that Agatha's awake too, but then she basically is like, I'm just gonna let her do her thing, whatever. And so Agatha leaves, and... She goes to Sophie's house again, and so as Sophie's crouching behind the tree,
she notices Agatha's footprint, which has cookie crumbs, and she realizes Agatha ate the cookies. And then Agatha comes and tries to rescue Sophie. Sophie calls her a pathetic, interfering worm.
She knows her insults.
Schoolmaster comes and gets them.
No, the schoolmaster comes, takes Sophie. Then Agatha's like, oh my gosh. She's trying to get Sophie. All the villagers are chasing after them. It's, like, a very Avengers-like scene.
It's very... Yes. It's also extremely intense, very eventful.
Yeah.
Lots of detail and action.
So
the stimps. Wait, we have to talk about the stimps.
No, we're not there yet.
Yes, we are.
And then Sophie's really mad, and she's like, ah, get away from me. You're ruining everything. And then they basically, so yeah, they're taken.
And they get flung up a giant tree.
After the schoolmaster's gone. So he basically dragged them to this tree.
And then the tree, it describes it as ping-ponging up branches. So they basically just get
yeeted up a tree.
Essentially yeeted up a tree, which is kind of cool. Then at the top of the
It's not that cool if you listen to the description.
The description sounds extremely painful. But at the top of the tree, there's a giant black egg. Then the egg tears open, splashing them with dark, yolky goo as a colossal bird emerges, made only of bones. And then, that was a direct quote. Then the bird grabs them both and dives off the tree, and the girls scream because, I mean, you're diving off in a humongous tree, like, a huge tree.
And the stymph, what the bird's called, it, like, doesn't have eyes. It's kind of like a
thestral. It's just a skeleton. No, it's... Wait. Thestrals have skin. You know, in Harry Potter, but it's not like that.
Uh-huh.
It's just all bones. And...
And then they're, like, over the towers of good and evil, like in the epigraph, and they're like... And Aggie's like... Sophie's like, oh my gosh, I'm a princess.
No, Sophie's like, it's real. And they're both kind of astounded.
Yeah, true, that happens. And then the stymph, like, loosens Sophie from its grip just as they're over the school for good, which is such a cruel thing to do. And then it drops Agatha instead.
What?
So Sophie's like...
So it's a huge plot twist. It's
kind of crazy. Sophie goes from, I'm a princess, to, wait, they just made a huge mistake. But it's not a plot twist because literally if you read the first page of the book, it has that segment from it.
That's true.
So whatever.
That's true.
And then, so Agatha gets dropped into the Tower of Good, which is like gleaming, like pink. Rainbows over it.
The water around it is clean, sparkling, gorgeous.
Glittery, beautiful.
Pink and blue glass turrets over a sparkling lake. The other looms, blackened and jagged. Sharp spires ripping through thunderclouds like the teeth of a monster.
Pink and blue spires does not even... It sounds kind of tacky.
Yeah. I mean, I like...
Like, what color pinks and blues are we talking
that's
about?
That's true. What I shades? Think pastel, but I'm
like,
not sure.
When they merge... So when the turrets merge...
Like, wait, what color would it be? How do they merge? Would it be, like, ombre? Do you think it'd be purple?
Purple would be pretty bad. Yeah. Like, those are just the turrets. What is, like, the body of the
What's
castle?
What's the body of...
Exactly. Soman, explain.
Okay.
Anyways, so, yeah. So then we end this chapter on... What's the last sentence?
And... Wait. I'll read the last two sentences. No, I'm good! It's the wrong one, Sophie screamed. And without a beat, she was dropped into hellish darkness.
Mic drop. No, sorry. So that's how the book ends.
And so last but not least, we'd like to shout out to Gretchen,
who wrote us a lovely email regarding a future special episode, which we hope to be able to share with you soon.
Then, just to wrap it all up, I'm Sam.
And I'm Gail.
And this has been SGE with S&G.
Bye!